Hi, this is Sarah Perks, Program and Engagement Director at Corner House, and I'm here with Angie Chen, who is the director of This Darling Life. This Darling Life is the opening film of Visible Secrets, which is our season of Hong Kong women filmmakers' work. And I'm here with Angie, and I'm going to ask her a few questions. Okay, I'll start with Angie. Can you tell us how this film happened? So how did you come to make This Darling Life?
Hello. Hi, Sarah. It's very nice to be here. The film happened, I think, 3 years ago, more than 3 years ago, when my friend, companion dog called Baby was actually quite sick, and his days were numbered, kind of. So, and somehow I was with my filmmaker's friends one evening, and we were just talking, and this friend of mine is actually French, and he's a cameraman and a very, very good artist. And so he mentioned, why don't we try to make a film about your dog? And I said, about my dog, you know? I saw it on your website. I really haven't made a feature film in more than 20 years. And I started out very early on. When I got my degree from the States, I went back to Hong Kong, hired by the big Jackie Chan, and I did my first Kung Fu film, and that was quite fun. And then I actually directed three features in the 80s. And somehow I just decided to stop, and 'cause I thought, I don't know. I just started to feel that my audience wasn't quite ready for my films, my movies. So I decided to take a sabbatical, and I took a 20-year sabbatical. I got into making TV commercial films, and I was in the business in the last 20 years. And then, of course, I missed making movies, I think. Making TV commercials are very different from making movies, you know. Then I just somehow... somehow it just clicked. I got the idea, and with his support from the very beginning, he started to help me film This Darling Life. And then he and his girlfriend had to move to Beijing, and so then I continued on with other friends of mine, both from the business and also a lot of my students from the university who actually helped this project. It is a non-commercial project, and we were very happy that it was partially financed by the Hong Kong Arts Development Council in Hong Kong that got us started. And because of that, we worked for over 2 years. And when we had the time, when everybody was ready and could take the time off to help me film, because it was a non-paying job for everybody. And so it took us more than 2 years. We started to ask around for interesting stories about the owner and the dog, owner and dog stories. And yes, we came across many, many people through references or from the newspapers. You know, we tried everywhere with our sources. And then we started to follow their lives and their connection with the dog. And then gradually it got narrowed down because some stories never got too far and we decided it was not interesting enough anymore, or it didn't really gel with our theme, so to speak, you know. So then gradually, I think it was interesting, on our website we said we spent 900 days actually of making this movie. We had over, I think I saw hundreds of people actually, and eventually we narrowed it down to 18 stories, I think, 18 stories with all the protagonists and their dogs, and then finally 10 made it into the film. Mm-hmm. And so right now you have 10 stories in the film. Lots of people think that this is a dog film, because a lot of my dog owner friends, you know, really were really happy. Said, wow, you know, finally we have a dog movie. But when you actually look at it, it's actually more about, dog stories. It's really about the people, actually, as well. And the film itself will give you a good glimpse of what Hong Kong life is all about, because there are lots of different kinds of people from, in terms of, you know, there's middle-class people or people who are really pretty much on the verge, you know. Different nationalities. There's a German woman in there. There's an English woman in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, as some of our regulars know, a big dog fan and have a couple of dogs of my own. But what really interests me about the film is the characters, and the dogs become a way to really get into the kind of soul of some of the characters. Can you just tell us a little bit about a couple of maybe your favourite characters and, you know, what they do and maybe what they're doing now?
That's a tough question, Sarah. I think because all the stories to me are quite dear to me. If not, they wouldn't have made it to the film. I think the homeless man who lives under the bridge, the flyover, definitely is a very, very interesting character. I mean, the reason we decided to follow him, and also that he's the only character that we did not approach him to really interview with him. So basically he stayed at a distance, you know. And the reason that I chose that was because I thought, since he selected this kind of lifestyle and basically he didn't really want to be bothered, you know. I think we asked the people who lived in the area, and I asked, you know, have you ever talked to him, you know, have you, you know, maintained any kind of connection? And they said no, you know. They would ask him, he said, well, you know, how are you, what are your dogs, and he never really answered. So when I found that out, I just decided maybe I just should just, you know, keep it at a distance and just to observe. So we basically observed him. And it's not that he didn't know we were around, though, you know. I mean, towards the end, I mean, how can you not, because we followed him for almost 2 years, you know. And he would just look into the camera, and then he would just look away. And sometimes if the camera was, like, filming him for too long, he would point his finger at the camera. And that was about, you know, the most he did. That character, and there's a character in the film, she was quite exasperated, I think, when you saw her. She was, like, she has a kennel, and she has like over 100 cats and over 100 dogs. And I didn't believe it at the beginning that she actually was single-handedly managing the kennel. And she didn't even have many volunteers, you know. I think she told me she had maybe one or two, but they came and actually they made more trouble, because they would, you know, kind of the dogs would escape from the kennel because they didn't handle it correctly, blah, blah. And so then eventually she was kind of discouraged to have any more volunteers to help her out. But since the movie premiered, and a lot of it's very interesting, a lot of people came to us to say that they wanted to help her out. And they did. And so she's gotten lots of donations, and she has now a flow of volunteers who would go there and help her out with all the chores, you know, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah, they were two of my favorite characters, definitely. You just mentioned the premiere. How was the film received in Hong Kong, and also have you shown it anywhere else in the world?
The film premiered, I think it was, we were very, very lucky that our distributor did a wonderful job and brought us into the cinemas. Because for documentaries, especially in Hong Kong, it's very seldom, because it's basically not a kind of a commercial-oriented, you know, endeavor. So we made it into the movie houses. And however, the problem was that we had budget problems. Because it started out, you know, we didn't have any investors, so we used our own money, our own time, you know. A lot of people did it pro bono. And so when we finally got to the theaters, we didn't have any money for the advertising, for the promotions. And then where my producer friend Pamela came in, that she helped us with a lot of, what do you call it,
advertising promotion.
That didn't cost us any money. So what we managed to do was, we managed to get on all the newspapers. We got interviews with every single newspaper in Hong Kong, which was really quite unusual at the time, because we got left-wing newspapers, right-wing newspapers, and all kinds of magazines and stuff. So we were doing, in the month before it went into the cinema, we did lots and lots of interviews to try to raise, the awareness, the exposure. But basically, with regards to, we had no television exposure, and basically nothing, because we didn't have any much money. So it was only word of mouth. And commercially speaking, it didn't do a terrific job. But however, word of mouth feedback response, we were very fortunate that they loved the film. And because of that, we managed to get a lot of, the donations and stuff for all the characters, in the film, in because lots of them belong to these NGOs, mm-hmm. these organizations, non-profit organizations for animals, yeah.
And where else have you shown the film?
Mm. The film went to Singapore, I think last year, it screened there. It went to the States and we got an award, a small award called the Award of Merits, I think, from California. It was nominated in one of the major newspapers called Ming Pao Daily. It was nominated as one of the most inspiring movies. And also was nominated, yes, in the Taiwan, the big film festival called the Golden Horse Awards. Yeah, it was also nominated, yeah. And so far, now we've been invited to come to this wonderful city of yours.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And we're showing it to the first time in Europe, which is really, really exciting.
That's great. It's great that we're the European premiere as well. We're delighted. I will just ask one question about dogs. Now, dogs are treated very differently around the world. So I think, in America, for example, they're very pampered and spoiled. So people like, Caesar Milan have to help everybody out. Here in the UK, people are very fond of their pets. We have a bit of an issue with what some people call dangerous dogs and certain types of dogs. That's often in the news and sometimes, sadly, dog fighting. How do you feel dogs are treated in Hong Kong? What are people's, attitude towards dogs?
It's quite varied, actually. Again, we have people who pamper dogs a lot, I think maybe they've watched too many Hollywood films. Yes, very pampered. And then we also have people, it's like anywhere in the world, who probably abuse animals. It's a mixture. But I think, generally speaking, compared to maybe in China, I think in Hong Kong, at least the animals kind of have the rights.
Yeah, animal rights kind of enjoy, and respect.
Yeah, enjoy the respect, In general, I think people, do treat the pets quite well. 40 years ago, Hong Kong people, in some parts, still eat dogs, which is it's quite unreal, for any people who don't live in China or somewhere. But I think at the end of the day, I think the main theme of this film is really, we're talking about the respect of living beings, whether you're a human being or an animal. It's just a basic respect. I think that is something that we try to address.
Yeah. And just if we turn to the Hong Kong film industry, what are your feelings about the industry at the moment? Do you feel like you're a part of it, or maybe, you are working independently?
Well, right now, I think I'm definitely working independently. Frankly, after Manchester, we're flying off to Iowa City. I'm starting on a new documentary project on what we call, known as the International Writing Program, which was co-founded by a Chinese-American writer called Hua Lingnie and her ex-husband, Paul Engel, a deceased husband, Paul Engel, yeah, who was a poet, and she is a fiction writer. And so, at this point in my life, I think I find, you know, making documentaries as being easier for me to express what I want to say, because it doesn't require a lot of capital to make, you know, it doesn't require, you know, actors and da-da-da. And basically, so documentaries are easier for me to do and to be able to express what I want to say. However, I haven't really excluded the idea that eventually maybe I'll do another fiction, a drama, dramatic film, which I have done, you know, three films in Hong Kong.
So what do you think of the Visible Secrets film season?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I'm so surprised that when I received news from you that you were and Corner House are doing this wonderful perspective on female Chinese female filmmakers, and I looked at the films that you are going to feature, and wonderful, like Claustrophobia, Lovers on the Road. Lovers on the Road I haven't seen, but I met the filmmaker Jessie, and she is a young and very determined, and I think she will be quite successful, I think, in the future. She's her first feature movie, right? And I've seen Ming Ming. Ming Ming is, if you're really into fantastical visuals, I think she's done a really fantastic job with the visuals. She is a TV commercial film director originally as well, I think, and this is her first feature film. Yes, it's beautifully done and photographed. I think it's wondrous in terms of the visual excitement. An Hui, of course, is already a very well-known, renowned filmmaker, and she's very prolific. I think she's done so many films, and I really admire her determination and persistence. It's not easy, I think, to be able to produce and direct so many films, you know. Mm. And especially, I think, in Hong Kong when, and this is by no means being derogatory, is in that the Hong Kong is a very commercial-oriented city. And people are really more, they're very exposed to Hollywood films or very commercial-oriented films. And so for a director to have to be able to deal with this, you know, it takes a lot of courage and determination to continue on.
Okay, thank you, Angie. And we're looking forward to watching This Darling Life tomorrow. And it'll also be on the UK tour, so it'll visit various cities around the country this autumn. And all the details are on this website. Thank you.
Thank you. And I look forward to seeing and talking to your audience tomorrow evening.